unbelievable.
Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast and Skeeter. Brought to you by Tab Touch. Get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Gamble responsibly. Please call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858. Except we're without Duff today. He's had to remain where he is in isolation just because he's working hard on the Willy Rioli story. Of course, the big news this morning, Willy Rioli is facing a charge. I'll go through the allegations there and we can have a bit of a chat about it. So April 23, caught by a sniffer dog, I believe, at Darwin Airport heading to the Tiwi Islands, charged with possessing a Schedule 2 dangerous drug in a quantity less than trafficable in a public place. So 25 grams of cannabis in his pocket. We expect that to be a fine. In normal circumstances, it's regarded as a minor crime. However, these are extraordinary circumstances because it is Willy Rioli. He's just about to finish his 2 year sentence for urine substitution. Of course, there was a cannabis charge attached to that as well. He has to face his day in court tomorrow. The West Coast Eagles have fronted the media at 10 a.m. this morning, Craig Vozzo. He does have his day in Darwin court tomorrow, so we do need to be careful. However, I think it does pose three questions. If he's guilty, did the Eagles know? And I believe, by the sounds of it, they did not know. They were caught unawares. So if that's true, I'd say that's an unprofessional way to handle it by Willy. And the second question is, does he really want to play footy? I mean, if he's caught, given all he's been through, he's due to return to the training track on June 20 and he was due to play again on August 20, which brings me to the third point. If he's found guilty tomorrow, should he play this year? Should he play at all again? And I'll just ask you, Skeet, you've seen the Vozzo press conference this morning, so you can enlighten us. But I tend towards I don't think this is something that should be a life punishment. I don't think the Eagles should punt him. I certainly don't think if he's found guilty, he should be playing football this year. I think there should be a massive apology both to the club, to the fans, to his teammates. I just cannot believe if he's proven guilty that he's gone down this pathway.
Quarters, well surmised. I tend to disagree. I think that his career is in jeopardy. I think he's absolutely on the brink. And having listened to Craig Vozzo, who spoke really well,
yep,
honest, forthright and a touch emotional because he was asked about how he felt having found out the news and only found out the club in the last 24 hours, which in itself is another issue. And
it is.
And Craig was asked about that time lag and he said, look, in some ways, Willy was hoping that the issue would just be swept away or would somehow disappear, which it was never going to. So, no, I've got more concerns about you that the Eagles will keep him on their list, given what was said at the press conference.
So what was said at the press conference?
Well, basically, Craig Vozzo said he was disappointed. He was angry, and this is probably representing the whole club.
Him.
There's a lot of trust issues that are now in place that perhaps now you thought with Willy after that mistake and paying the price that he did, that this would have been something that wouldn't come to the fore. Does he have a problem with cannabis? That's the other question. Lots of questions asked, and he can only answer so many. And let's bear in mind, these are allegations that are yet to be proven in court.
So yes,
we do have to preface all of this on that front. But from a football point of view, from a life point of view, there's frustration, I think, from the Eagles. They couldn't get better access to Willy during the period that he was off because of the investigation into that drug tampering allegation, which, of course, he served his time for. But the bottom line, and I think the press conference said a lot of things with regards to what comes from here on in, and they will go through a fact-finding mission to make sure they get all the relevant details on the table before they make their decision. But I'm not so confident as you are that the Eagles will keep him on their list going forward because of what Craig Vozzo has just said. In a football sense, He was due back at the club in the next month or so.
June 20.
June 20, to be exact. Now, whether that happens is still a case.
I can't see how we could.
It's hard to see that eventuating. But, yeah, look, and also, let's be honest, he's a 25-year-old man. But as Adam Simpson, even at a press conference last week and even before that, and having spoken to people at the club, Willy Rioli is not your normal 25-year-old man who's perhaps lived the life experience that most of us had. He's had some other challenges and also perhaps hasn't grown up as quickly as others. Now, all these are periphery points to the fact is he's a grown man who makes decisions of his own choice. So all that has to be weighed up quarters before the Eagles make a decision. The court case will happen tomorrow. But it's a really big setback, full stop. It's a huge setback for Willy.
Disappointing.
And you just wonder now, all the sympathy which we all had on a number of levels.
I think the sympathy now is on the wane.
Oh, has to be. Has to be. And more so about the time it took to get his penalty from the Sports Integrity Australia. All of that, you thought, this bloke, marijuana, by the way, if he had, of course, been given a strike, which he would have, and not tampered with it, he'd be back playing now.
He would be.
As it stands at the moment, I'm not sure if the AFL will put this down as one strike. I'm yet to hear formally from the league as to where this sits. But there's so much to unpack here, but there's no good news.
Well, I don't think it can be a strike because he's not been tested. It was just found in possession of. So it is a small amount. So, look, they may, but I can't see how they could. But, look, I just think there's so much to still now play out. We thought it had played out, but there's so much to play out, much more to play out now. Yes, Sports Integrity Australia, formerly known as the SADA, there was a big lag there. And, yes, that would have affected his mental health. But I think his outs are gone. I think he's used all those. Not use the cards, that's a bit unfair, but I think he now, as you say, he's 25 years of age. Now he has to face the consequences of this, and it just beggars belief given the amount of work that was put into that two-year punishment. He's very lucky to cop a two-year punishment for that transgression, in my opinion. So I don't know what he's playing at, but it's a very bad mistake. If he's found guilty, if he's proven to be guilty, it's a very bad mistake.
Now, Craig Vozzo said that Willie's gutted, devastated, all the adjectives you can use in the world, which he probably is.
Yeah, because he got caught.
Got caught. And the funny thing is, well, the interesting thing is, this happens so close to his return to the club. All of that makes it bewildering. And you wonder, when the Eagles sit down as I presume a board, certainly the leading figures at the club sit down and make the big call, because this is the call. Do you keep a bloke on your list after what he's done? And bear in mind, I just wonder if the Eagles hadn't been through what they went through, and don't get me wrong, this is not 2006 revisited by any stretch of the imagination, no. But is there any sense of, look, we worked so hard for so many years after that period to get this club and the culture where we wanted. Is this the real test of a really good player who potentially can come back and help them win a flag down the track? This is the testing call for me as to what they
do. Sure. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm just not sure whether it's – I definitely think there will be a penalty handed out on top of what's already been given. I'm just not sure if it's going to be career-ending.
No, you might be right. But and look, just the way Craig Vozzo spoke, it wasn't a case of we're going to support him through hell and high water. There was a lot to go through. And if he has transgressed to the point through these allegations and they yet to be proven, then I don't think Willy Rioli is certain to keep his spot on that list.
Now, over the weekend, Skeet, some players got themselves into a bit of trouble over in Melbourne at the Yo-Yo nightclub. No, we've been out plenty of times in Melbourne, but not at the Yo-Yo.
Oh, no, I've never heard of the Yo-Yo nightclub.
Yo-Yo must be relatively new. I used to sort of – my end of town was King Street, of course. And
oh, dear me. Well, there's some great famous nightclubs back in the day. In the city, which we're
the Metro.
The Metro. There's one near underneath a hotel. Anyway, we digress.
We do. So Shea Bolton and Daniel Rioli. Look, I like the way Richmond have handled this.
Don't mind it.
So often there's an argument now, you're elite AFL players, you're well known in Melbourne, why should you be out? Well, they still have to live life. So they're out at a nightclub. Daniel Rioli's partner was abused, and also I believe there was some touch there as well. So look, they're entitled to a bit of recreational time. They're entitled to go out and not get hassled. We know that you do get hassled when you go out and you're an AFL player, so you put yourself in that position. But unfortunately, there was a bit of a push and shove, and there was punches thrown. So Shea Bolton has broken a wrist. Now, for me, the ramifications are great because he's out for a few weeks now, and Richmond, he's arguably been their best player this year. and probably inarguably, he probably has been their best player this year. So that's a massive out for them at a time when they have got a few troops out. But look, I don't think it needs to go anywhere else. I think the Richmond said we won't be taking the matter any further. They've had a look at Tim Livingston, the head of football, looked at all the CCTV footage. I don't think the AFL need to act or will act. I think it just goes from – there's just some injuries now, so.
Yeah, and just shows you that age bracket where in a nightclub or a bar environment that maybe in 5 to 10 years those players or those men will walk away or diffuse the situation as opposed to ignite. And that's what happens. And don't get me wrong, whatever age, it can happen. And I don't buy the fact that players can't go out. And I don't even think they were drinking heavily, if at all. So I don't think that was an element, certainly in the Shea Bolton situation. Mm. So I also have sympathy. I have no issue with Richmond looking at what they see as being the true version of events with the CCTV footage behind them. But again, it's just a little lesson, irrespective. You just have to be careful where you go when you're an AFL player of some repute.
Now, before we get on to West Coast and Fremantle, because there's a lot to go through there, Scott Lysett, the sling tackle, it's gone directly to the tribunal. Careless conduct, severe impact, high contact. I think we're looking at 3 weeks.
In trouble.
I think we're looking at 3 weeks. Ned McHenry, too, doesn't help. He was 179 centimetres, so much smaller. Now, Scott Lysett's not a malicious person. He has, in fact, admitted guilt. He wishes it hadn't happened. He's prepared to cop his whack. Also copped a bit of a whack on social media.
Speaking of malicious.
But good on him for calling that out and those idiot trolls out there. So that's an ugly side of it. But the actual incident itself, I think we're looking at about 3 weeks, which is probably where it's at. I mean, you could see he was clearly concussed. He's not playing this week. The AFL's trying to rub them out, as they should, and I think you'll see 3 weeks.
Gee, Quarters, we're agreeing too much this morning on the podcast.
It's not so much on Willie, but yeah.
No, that is very much a 50-50 call, yeah. I think. You're a bit more on the side of supporting the player through this period. But, yeah, the other two cases, I think, yep, tick, tick, move on. Lysett cops his whack, and Port Adelaide misses a key player against the Bulldogs.
Here's another one, report. Were you okay with them putting the prison bars on after the game?
Oh, you know what? I actually don't care, but it's great theatre.
I loved it.
It's great theatre. I mean, it's a footy periphery issue, which really, outside of Collingwood...
Oh, we live for this stuff,
though. But it's theatre, absolutely. Yeah. I've got no issue at all with Koshy and Eddie going toe-to-toe. Absolutely. Where this ends, I'm not sure, but as mentioned, as I saw speaking of social media, someone suggested Collingwood should play Never Tear Us Apart at the next MCG home game before the opening bounce.
Oh, that's a great call. So they should. Come on, do it, please. Yeah. I was going to say, not Eddie, Quarter. Do it, please.
Get into it. No, that's all good with me. I'm happy with the prison bars, and may that blue continue, and particularly in the lead-up to the next... next contest between Collingwood and Port Adelaide.
So we saw some, of course, there was a round of footy. How many did you get, Skeet?
Now, I've got to give you a tick here and a credit. You tipped the Cats last week, and they were terrific after half time. Actually, thanks to Tap Touch, I decided to have a little wager on them at half time. They were plus 10.5, and I thought they'd done
on
well.
On my argument? Or
after a couple of beverages, I think. But that still was part of the rationale. I was thinking of you at that point, thinking, well, Quarters, I think, would be pretty comfortable in this third quarter, and as you were. And if Duff was here, I would say, ye of little faith. He's tipped them to win the flag, but he kept jumping off on the bandwagon. He had one leg off as they stuttered through the first month of footy. But I'll tell you what, now that Jeremy Cameron's involved in that side and playing some really good footy, Gary Rowan is probably form of his career.
He is.
A bag in his 150th game. Tom Hawkins can just go about his business. This Geelong side can only get better and better. And that was a huge win for them. The monkeys, so to speak, off their back at the MCG against the Tigers. There's only good things to come now for Geelong.
Well, a couple of things. So it's Cameron. So 15 goals between Cameron, Rowan and Hawkins. And obviously Cameron's presence has helped Hawkins, but it's really helped Rowan. So you're right, he is playing the best footy of his career. I think also the introduction of Isaac Smith to that team. Now, they did cop some criticism over Higgins and Isaac Smith's arrival, so they were regarded as old anyway, and they've recruited old. But I think Isaac Smith, his running capacity and what he does for them on that wing, that outside run is so crucial to them. And as we discussed last week, they're just handballing now every opportunity, and I think that disrupts Richmond. So they're a legitimate contender among a couple of others. I still have Richmond in that bracket. I think they're still capable.
There's no clear premiership favourite, Quarters, really.
No, there's not. I'd put Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Port Adelaide, Richmond, Geelong. At this stage, I can't see teams coming from outside that group winning it, and that includes West Coast. At this stage, I can't see.
And I agree with you on all those points, and Geelong showing us that they have got a different way to play.
Conceded the first three goals too, kicked 19-6 after that point.
Extraordinary.
It's incredible effort.
And I did mention prior to the game that they averaged, prior to last Friday, 65 points at the MCG in recent times. So they turned it around. Richmond, I think this is the issue with clubs that are so successful. They're going to have, I think, as this year goes on, plenty of peaks and troughs just because of they're always the team that's being hunted. And each and every week, Richmond is being asked questions about, do you still want to go up that mountain again? And at times, we're going to say no. And the week before, we thought, yep, they're in for the fight.
Well, they've got GWS, I think, on Friday night. Is it at
Marvel? No, not Friday. I think it's a Saturday game. But it's in Melbourne. So that's going to be a – look, the Giants have improved, but there, the Tigers with some work to do.
And with Bolton out. So, look, on Sunday at the Gabba, Freo v Brisbane. Brisbane 24-point winners. I thought that was a fair effort from Freo. Now, I know there was probably some junk time goals at the end there with Brisbane were well in command. It was all about the first half. I think Brisbane and the use of the footy in the first half. I think inside 50, Brisbane were 23. Freo were 26 in that first half. Brisbane had 17 shots at goal. Freo had 8 shots at goal. It's just a forward line that's not quite functioning yet. Tabana's finding some form. 5 kicks a goal and kicks a couple of behinds. 215 he's got this year. And you see how it's done by a team that's in the window. I'm not sure if we mentioned Brisbane in that window, but they're certainly in that premiership window. So you're right, there's so many teams in contention. But you look at that forward line, McStay.
It's a great double punch when you've got Joey Hipwood and Danaher. If they get themselves rolling.
They already have got themselves rolling.
Which they have after that first round, I guess, hiccup against the Swans. I've been really happy with what Brisbane have produced, even down in Geelong. They should have won that game. They got up against Collingwood in a tight one. Very bullish about this Brisbane side. In that game on Sunday, I was sitting with Will Schofield. We're doing a show at Optus Stadium, and it was about 40 points. And we said, this is going to travel down the path that we sort of half expected. Brisbane too classy. Last quarter, we think Freo will get some cheap goals and bring it back to under 5 goals, which is pretty well what they did. So I want to say it was a good effort by Fremantle. It was a predictable result in my mind. Unfortunately, they lose Michael Frederick. They've got players that, I guess, their depth is starting to run thin. We know that. Just concerned about them moving forward the next 3 or 4 weeks.
We should get a couple back this week. I think Luke Ryan should be one of them.
Very close.
So he's huge. So is Conker going to miss with a hammy?
So he played the game, which gives you some hope that he'll play on against the Bombers this weekend.
Pretty important. He'd probably get McDonald, Tip and Woody if he's fit. So pretty important.
Good luck.
But you look at Brisbane and what happens with that forward line with so much depth. Now, Charlie Cameron's finding the best form as well of his season, so 3 goals from him. And Hugh McCluggage.
McCluggage is a Rolls-Royce. He's almost...
So he would be... he'd have to be at the pointy end of the Brownlow deliberations at this...
So Lachie Neal's injury is hand-passed responsibility and the ball in many ways.
Could be back-to-back Brownlows.
To McCluggage, who... Outstanding. Maybe I think he's relishing that added responsibility and giving himself the chance to move forward, hit the scoreboard when possible. There's a lot to like about Brisbane. Fremantle, I've just got some concerns.
Yeah, injury-wise going. But okay, let's hope they go okay. West Coast defeated Hawthorn, 38 points at the MCG. Almost unwatchable this game, particularly if you're like me being a Hawthorn man. It's going to be – I think it might be a pretty bleak end of the year period from this point on this year.
Love to know who you're going to pick this week between the Hawks and North, but that's a Thursday afternoon.
That's a Thursday afternoon discussion. Call. I think you know who I'm going to tip already. Look, West Coast did what they won on the road. They didn't beat much because Hawthorn is really struggling at the moment. But, you know, they did what they had to do. And I think that midfield, Gaff, Kelly, Sheed, he's in good form at the moment. I think that midfield, they've done what they have to do. They did it on the road. It's 38 points. It's nothing to sneeze at. Good to see Archie kick 4 goals. Great game from Jack Darling as well. We hope Josh Kennedy is okay with that calf injury. I think back this week, possibly McGovern, Barass. We'll see what happens with JK. But you go there, you get the job done, and you come out with not too much wrong. Hopefully Josh Kennedy's okay.
They're a bit like the Cats in many ways. If they and Geelong don't have the same injuries, but you mentioned McGovern, Barass, Hearn, probably not far away either. Liam Ryan getting pretty close. If they can just hang around,
Yo Shuey,
win those games that they had
yes,
to,
that's
for instance,
right.
The MCG, you keep yourself inside the 8, home matches take care of themselves by and large, top four becomes a possibility.
They're 5-3.
Yep.
So, you know, they're one game out of the four. So I think you're quite right. They've just got to – they're not playing great footy at the moment.
Don't have to. Just win.
That's right.
Just get those results on the board.
This
and people
is the
say,
meaty part of the year when you've got to do that.
And also, as you say, their list is only going to get better, we think, from now on just because of availability. And so if they can – they'll take care of Adelaide on the weekend. That'll make it, what, 3 in a row? Without too much trouble, I wouldn't have thought. So there is, if you're an Eagle supporter, keep the faith because although I think I agree with Quarters, if you're mentioning premiership contenders at the moment, they're not in the conversation.
Not at the moment, they're not, but you can easily fall out of contention at this point of the year, but they're staying in touch. They're very much in touch with that top four. So you're right, just get the job done, get the players back, try and build something because you can't win the flag in May,
or April.
You can lose it.
Absolutely, and there's no question about that. And Bailey Williams, by the way, we mentioned Nathan Vardy's always been the go-to man to help out Nick Nat, but this is the young guy that I think is the heir apparent, if not to take over from Nick, certainly to be his right-hand man going forward. So there's...
Needs to back it up, but yeah I would agree
absolutely.
With that.
And, you know, it does mean that, speaking of the Eagles, Craig Vozzo today asked about their waffle team, which, unfortunately, they've just got no players. Yeah. They're being stretched to the utmost, so... That's another issue, a side matter, but what we've got at the moment is an Eagles side providing Elliot Yeo stays at the club, which I think is...
Elliot Yeo, I think, will stay.
No, I was only saying that in complete jest because our colleague Tom Brown in Melbourne may be just stretching the Lilly fraction there, suggesting there could be a Cripps swap for Yeo with Carlton, but I can't see...
Yeo is their most important player.
Absolutely.
Because he runs two ways. We know what a midfield beast he is. He's All-Australian. He's a best and fairest winner. I wouldn't trade him. I would not trade him. He's had a frustrating out end.
He's also got OP. Yes. So why would you, as Carlton, just as an argument, say, why would you be chasing a bloke that possibly is not going to be 100%? Either way, it's not happening. Craig Vozzo shut it down today. I don't know why we're even talking about a rumour that has got no legs.
Well, because it's what we do. It's the industry, and this sort of speculation comes out at this point. Cripps is chasing a new contract, whether it be at Carlton elsewhere. I think it'll be at Carlton.
Yes, most likely.
Yeah, I think most likely. But he's been a great stalwart for Carlton. I hope he's well looked after there. But I don't think Elliot Yeo's going anywhere. Western Bulldogs win over Carlton, 16 points at Marvel Stadium. I like this win. I did pick them, so I was sort of riding that one home. And I feel a bit sorry for Carlton. They're a bit like Essendon, except they've been at it a little bit longer in their rebuild. I think with Carlton, they're an almost footy team. They got the job done for three quarters. Wiedering was terrific in defence. Eddie Betts is – when two of your forwards, Betts kicks 5 and Mackay kicks 4.
You think you're going to go close to winning.
But I'll tell you what it tells you is how good this Western Bulldogs side is. And now what they're able to do now, they're not front runners anymore. They're able to claw back those deficits. And we talk about – well, Josh Bruce is probably having – he's been maligned in the past and by me often because I've just thought, what does he do after kicking 6? Goes missing for 4 weeks. Well, he's stringing them together now. 5 goals again at the weekend. It was a terrific effort. You talk about, you know, Dale, McRae, Libbers, these players, but you can't go past Bontempelli. Again, I think we know the beauty of Bontempelli is he can play as a bona fide midfielder. And then 5 minutes later, you see him up the other end catching
Mark, kicking for goal.
And he's also, I think, his leadership. Last year was his first year as captain, and I think he had a... We did see a little bit of dilution in him because he was trying to learn that leadership role. And I think we see the complete footballer now. He's a very good captain. He does all the one percenters. He does the fancy stuff in the midfield. And then he's up the other end catching it. What a terrific footballer.
And I think what we're seeing this year for the Bulldogs with Treloar coming on board, in the modern era, you can never have too much depth in your midfield.
No. And particularly with the rules as they are at the moment.
And it just gives your forwards more looks than the opposition if you're getting the footy out of the middle, winning it around the ground. So it's not a statement of great wisdom, but the midfield of the Bulldogs, every team would love to have that depth at the moment. Some have, some haven't. They don't have, you know, their back line has been a bit maligned but has done the job over the course of this year. And their forwards, we talk of Norton, Josh Bruce, who, by the way, he may have changed his plan, but he's been off the drink for the start of the season. Now, if he's still off it, this is working wonders for him. Mm. Just keep drinking the water and the orange juice because that's been a blessing for Josh Bruce, and he's been a star for them. consistency's there. This Bulldog side, and you say 27 points down during the third quarter. Mm. I'm thinking of putting John Worsfold into the mentor A-list category because he'd got the victory over Essendon, and now he thought, well, here we go, the Bulldogs. But they did fall away. But I agree with you, Quarters. I think Carlton, as frustrating as they have been for me this year, don't completely throw out the plan just yet because they're getting better, and David Teague, with the show of the faith of the club, hopefully we'll get to see the results.
We saw some defensive deficiencies highlighted in the last couple of days with Carlton, and if you look at them, they do look appallingly bad, but you've also got to remember fatigue does come into it, you know, and if they happen late in the game, you can sort of, it's not an out as much, but you can see why these things happen. And once they fix that stuff up, I think Carlton will be a legitimate top six, top eight contender. I just think right now they're just a little, there's just a missing ingredient. It's probably their defensive work.
It is defensive. Yeah, they've got holes there at times where they're gaping, yawning holes in defence. Yep. And that gives teams the chance to score 100 points or more against them each week.
We mentioned the showdown earlier with the Prison Bars. Port Adelaide, 49-point winners against an Adelaide side that's been disappointing the past month. We saw them get the job done. Charlie Dixon in really good form. Two concerns out of that game for me for Port, and I really like Port. I'm a fan. I think they are a contender. Zach Butters looks like a syndesmosis. Mm. Looks like he's going to have a spell out. He'd be as important as any player to any team, I reckon, what he does for Port Adelaide. And also Lysett's going to have a spell on the sidelines too. So I think they're not two insignificant outs. That a little bit of a concern for Port Adelaide over the next month, I'd suggest. Month probably longer for Zach Butters. Still very much in the mix. Just a worry.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But what I liked in the showdown from Port, it was a bit of a greasy night. Adelaide had a lot of inside 50s. I think it was the second quarter. I watched closely and they just had their defences well set up now. You regard Port Adelaide over the last few years as really good, but sometimes flaky. That wasn't the case on the weekend. I think they've got the template to really push deep again, as we expect, in their defence, as it is with most clubs. If they've got their defence sorted, which they have, obviously they need their Butters and their small forwards doing the job. And they have got
pretty good
Fantasia. You've got Simon Charlie's there, and they've got Todd Marshall bobbing up. They have got all the keys to finish top four, perhaps top two, remains to be seen.
Just on that subject, I think we've got our producer Josh flying visit over to Adelaide at the weekend. Actually attended his first showdown. Josh, what did you make of it?
I never missed a showdown.
Did you have the scarf above your head, and were you singing "Never Tear Us Apart"?
My girlfriend and I, we bought $10 beanies either side, side of Adelaide one. So,
what did you wear?
Well, I got really pissed during the day and started tearing into all the Port fans around me in jest.
Are we on air here? Is this live? Or are we going, this is the podcast now, is it?
G classification, Josh.
All right. It was really good. Really impressed with Adelaide Oval. As to what you were saying just then, really impressed with Port Adelaide, Alir. Unbelievable. He was just
probably in all Australian frame.
He was so good and just one of those things you probably don't pick up unless you're at the game with a defender like that. Just always in the right position. Really was just this final wall defense Adelaide rather couldn't penetrate it. And Tex was just so frustrated. And the whole crowd's getting into him. And I kept yelling, "Keep it up, Tex. Good energy, mate." And then all the ladies around me tell me to shut the hell up.
Yeah, just forget the footy stuff, Josh. We want to know about the atmospherics at a game of footy because we know Optus is terrific. It's regarded as the jewel in the crown of WA sport. The Adelaide Oval's a slightly different beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously Optus Stadium. It's almost like they took a lot of the good things that came from Adelaide Oval, albeit on a bigger scale. Adelaide Oval, I would love to watch cricket there. It's a good spot from everywhere.
I watch cricket there. Yeah, it's a great oval.
40,000 people. It was their first packed game since the COVID stuff, so they'd open it up to 100% crowd. So I've walked in there. We've been running a little bit late, and we walked in just as Never Tear Us Apart is finishing off. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend, who never watches any sport, was just like, "What the F is going on here?" You know what I mean? Is this some sort of cult we've walked into by accident? And it somewhat is. But it was a very good atmosphere, fantastic game, crowd really into it. And good to see a Port Adelaide, which a team we know has previously had issues with fans, in previous decades. Packed crowd, couldn't see barely any Crows fans. It was a very, very strong Port Adelaide crowd. So
Were there any pie floaters around? Did you come across any pie floaters?
What's a pie
you don't know what, so you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's just don't worry. It's something very peculiar to Adelaide. There's this,
just like West End beer. You just don't drink it.
Yeah, they just have this. It's a pie floating in like a mashed peas sort of. You buy it as a takeaway.
You know, what it did remind me of is just a Seinfeld reference. Bizarro. You know the Bizarro. Yeah. It was. It felt like I was in Bizarro Perth, where everything was the same, but it had a different brand. Like you're at Adelaide Oval, it was effectively the Derby, and there's the same sort of people wearing the same sort of brands. Anyway,
oh, we love Adelaide. It's good for a short visit. Melbourne defeated Sydney 9 points, Skeet, at the G. Impressive effort by Sydney. Geez, you get a bit of a check when you play Sydney. They just do not lie down. They're like Glenn Close in the bath in Fatal Attraction, mate. They will not lie down, Sydney. But you got to love where Melbourne's gone with it. Big Maxi Gawn playing a bit of a different role now, sort of being that sweeping across the back line.
Yeah, exactly. It's just another facet of his game, which makes him the best ruckman in the competition
without
at the moment.
No question
about that. And having Tom McDonald continuing his really good form, Ben Brown has been another dimension for them. And look, they'll drop one soon. You think Melbourne?
Oh, they'll drop a game.
But no, they'll drop one in the next few weeks, I think. Yeah. It's been a long time up, but they continually show people that they've got more than just it's a flash in the pan first few weeks. This is a side that's showing a bit more resolve than what anyone had
and
expected.
James Jordan, the rising star nominated this week, how good does he think this is? He's gone to a club, he's gone to Melbourne, a team that's been maligned for the past 50, 60 years.
Exactly.
He's 8-0.
Yeah.
8-0.
How good is it? How good's life at a club which, to be honest with you, most of us had finishing bottom six at the start of the season or thereabouts. But we knew from 2018 that if they got themselves up and running, that this was a possibility.
This is a different side to 2018.
Absolutely.
This is a side with more system, more belief in each other. They're very team-oriented. They've got great balance forward line defence. Their defence now is a great defence. Midfield, lots of depth there. And not fewer injuries. We forget how important injuries are. Every team has them, but they have probably fewer than anyone. So
luck in running is always important. I can't wait for that. And it's a fair way down the track, or a few weeks down the track. Round 11, Bulldogs v Melbourne, the two midfields going toe-to-toe. So that's something to look forward to in the near future. But Melbourne, impressive. Sydney didn't lose too many admirers.
Tom, how well's he going?
Oh, and you talk about the Alia, All-Australian selection scenario. Well, Tom Hickey, who went across to Sydney, that's a really big pickup for the Swans. The Eagles didn't want to lose him, but by the same token, he's been one of the success stories of the competition as a mature age recruit.
Mm. Collingwood defeated North Melbourne 22 points at the MCG. Two things happened here, Skeet. Jordan Ngoi answered his critics by kicking six goals, and they moved Darcy Moore back to defence, as I've been asking them to do for 6 weeks. And what does he do? He takes 19 marks. Collingwood, he's an All-Australian defender. Leave him in defence.
Yeah, there's no question that he was and is the premier defender at Collingwood and potentially the competition.
He looked like a priest who'd wandered into a music festival when he was in that forward line at Collingwood. He did not know what to do or where to go.
And it is easier playing that role in defence, but he did it with aplomb and just gave a bit of normalcy back to the Collingwood side, who now trying to put Ngoi, isolate him as much as possible in attack. North Melbourne.
Against North, it was easier.
Jeez, I was hoping you'd tip North Melbourne because you're very close to doing that.
I actually really, really thought about it, but our colleague Chris Robinson talked me out of it. He said quarters. It's North. And I went, and he said, look at their percentage. And I looked at that and I said, you're right. That they just can't kick.
Well, I said to you last week on the Thursday, I said, quarters, they haven't won a game in the past 15 outings. It's like backing a horse who hasn't won for 3 years. Thankfully, your common sense came to pass.
And look, they've got Hawthorn this week, so they've got to be a chance. But Jaden Stevenson out for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
so he's a big out.
Yeah, so that's a tough game to call. Just give me a quick glimpse as to which way you might be leaning.
Oh, we're a happy team, Skeet. You know that. So GWS defeated Essendon. A very close game in the end. It looked like GWS were running away with it. They got the job done against Essendon, as I said, very much like Carlton. Be frustrating to watch as an Essendon supporter at the moment, but you'd have a bit of faith that, geez, we're going in the right direction here. It's going to turn eventually and we'll start winning more of those games that we lose. 6-2 goal final term for the Bombers, so pretty good effort. One issue coming out of that, and I'm not sure if it's changed, Mumford, did you see the knee into the back of Merritt?
I did. I saw something on
that. Was worse than clumsy, mate. And I think the AFL match committee actually needed to look at that. They needed to at least look at it and clear it.
Been a few of those cases where Michael Christian, you wonder whether he's going to have a closer look and maybe sight the player, and they've got away with it. And Mummy,
he's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
100 plus kilos.
He likes to throw his weight around. Not saying that he intentionally hurts.
That merits a third of his size.
Yeah. So I didn't like that. I would have looked at it a little more closely, and yeah, I don't. It's not a good look for the game if you're talking about what you know, head high contact and all that. That's not great either with players doing that to their opponents, particularly with the size differential.
Didn't like it. Needed, I reckon he should have got weeks for that. But anyway, we move on. St Kilda defeated Gold Coast by 9 points, Metricon Stadium. The one I got wrong. I got 8 last weekend, Skeet, so I was disappointed with that. A couple of things I took out of that. I was disappointed with Gold Coast. I thought that's a match they could win. St Kilda, at the moment, really only one genuine A-grader in Steele. I think they've got a lot of B-plus players. They will have an A-grader in King in a couple of years. Paddy Ryder makes a huge difference to them. He's been back, what, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, and they've won every week. So I think he makes a huge difference. I think Gold Coast, that was a winnable game that they let slip. So
by 15 points in the second half. And I was, you know, I've tipped the Gold Coast. They're hard to get a handle on because you think they're getting a bit of momentum. They beat Collingwood at the MCG. They've beaten the Swans up at the Metricon Stadium. And then, albeit St Kilda has a very good record against the Gold Coast, that was a game to announce yourself to the competition that you're not just there for honourable losses.
Yes, that's right. Took Miller, very good for them all year. He looks like he's going to miss a week too, so that'll be disappointing for them. And that's the wrap. We mentioned Geelong and Richmond earlier on, which brings us to, are we doing Juicy Topic?
I do Thursday.
Oh, disappointing. Okay, that's
fine.
Do you have a topic or? Well, I just wanted to bring up the.
It was all a dream.
Juicy topic of the week.
Barry White, he's back. We love him, don't we? Always feel like. Try and drink during the week, Skeet. But once I hear that ad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You and I have quite. Well, we digress, but you and I are quite similar. We can go off the drink for weeks or months if need be.
Yes.
And then not drink during the week, and then
it's
good night, Irene.
Strap yourself in. This is going to get ugly.
Look at Josh. He's thinking, look at these two Muppets in the corner.
You heard Craig Vozzo in the Sunday Times at the weekend, a story by Brad Quarterman, talking about the effect that the move back to 20-minute quarters, the effect that the cuts to the soft cap has taken, the long injury list at club, great concerns over him. Look, I get his point. But I just don't want to see us. I think 20 minutes plus time on is the way to go. My view on it is that, interchange rotations have gone from 90 down to 75 as well, and the preseason was squeezed. All of these things have conspired to, yes, I think there has been an effect with the long injury list at clubs, but I also see it that this is an unusual year. We're coming off the back of an unusual. I think it'll sort itself out eventually. The question we need to ask about the soft cap is, can we afford it? If we can afford to, so it's 9 million down to just over 6 million. If we can afford to bring the soft cap back up, then all by all means go for it. But I'm not sure if we can. I think we still need to be frugal at the moment rather than extravagant in terms of what we need to be very watchful for the purse strings at the moment. I just think I agree with Craig. We've got to find some way around it, but I don't think reverting to full rotations, going back to 16-minute quarters, I don't think it's the way to go. I like the 20 minutes plus time on, and I think it'll level out.
I think our game goes too long. That's my – in fact, for the longest
so you would
football
like
code
– shorter quarters.
I like shorter quarters. 16 was too short. I think I'm happy to go up to 18 minutes. I know it doesn't sound much, but from 16 to 20, I just think matches – any time you look at the clock and there's 32, 33 minutes on there, I'm thinking we need to get with – the rest of the world in terms of sport and also our athletes. I think it helps protect them by having the slightly shorter quarters. You've mentioned about the rotations, interchange, and you think this is a bit of a transition year, which I understand. I quite like having the shorter quarters, as in just trim it by 2 minutes back to the 18 with time on anything over 30 minutes a quarter. What's that? Brings us to 120 minutes of out there in the field of battle. I mean,
I love the fatigue, mate.
Yeah, you might like the fatigue, but at the end of the day, if we're getting injuries because of it, not saying that's the only reason, that is something I think the AFL will look at the end of the year still.
Okay. It's now time for this. Hello, Newman.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Thank you very much, guys. Good.
Thank you very much, guys. Good to be back. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Welcome back from Adelaide.
Yes.
You survived.
I did survive.
The brown water.
Yeah. You know what? Like, Adelaide is the one city that Perth people feel like they can rip on in Australia.
Is it?
Well, I feel like Perth people
I've heard them ripping on Melbourne and Sydney a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, at their heart, they realise they're the biggest cities and a lot of us move there at some point in our lives. But I feel like Adelaide, a lot of good restaurants and stuff, popped right up. They've released all the liquor licensing laws. I was very impressed. Anyway, helps being a showdown. Sorry, bit of a
the
food.
The Barossa Valley.
Skeet's looking through me.
The German influence. No, beautiful coastline. A lot
Adelaide,
to offer.
Giving Adelaide a lot of love this morning. When it's a nice spot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I couldn't live there. It's good to holiday. Short stints, Adelaide.
Yeah, very good. Well, good weekend, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Hi, gents. I saw a report from Tom Brown. You're aware of Tom Brown's work, aren't you?
Aware of Tommy, yes. Seven Network.
So you think you've basically just completely fobbed off the Elliot Yeo stuff?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Moving on. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, it was something that, from what we've even learnt today from Craig Vozzo, that he laughed at the suggestion. It has never been, I don't think, on the radar of the West Coast Eagles or Carlton. That's just
so
my...
Where is this
talking
from,
about the player.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking... Well, I can't answer for Tom. I mean, Tom's breaks a lot of good stories.
Yep, exactly.
So I'm not bagging Tom. I'm just saying something. We don't get them all right. My point is, this is a player who Adam Simpson turns to when fully fit in a game, in a big game, and says, Elliot, we need you to put your Superman cape on.
Yep.
Don't worry. He's had OP for 18 months. When he's fully fit, he is their most important player. They do not want to lose Elliot Yeo. He is very important to them.
He actually said that in the Making the Mark doco too. So thank you very much, James. Just we spoke to that earlier. So Matt from Perth, Nathan Buckley mentioned that the side have lost their DNA, which is their defence. A lot of that is made from the trade period last year, but not a lot has been made for the loss of their coaching personnel. Longmuir as their defence coach in 2018-19, Matthew Board in 2020. They played finals in all three of those years. Could the loss of these coaches have been an impact?
Absolutely, as it would with every club. I think Justin Longmuir has. I mean, he's very important to them, particularly to their defensive makeup. But you know what? We talked about it. We spoke about this earlier. Darcy Moore needs to marshal that he is there, the captain of their defence, if you like.
Yes.
He's probably a captain of the club down the track too. So I think having him back and you build your back line around him, there's still a lot to like about that Collingwood defence. And, yeah, of course, losing quality assistant coaches has to have an effect on you. But, again, we just mentioned this during the juicy topic. If we bring the soft cap back, can we afford to bring that soft cap back up? I'm not sure if we can at the moment.
Just going on the assistant coaching vein, looked at a piece recently. It was a repeat, but it was Damien Harvey talking about the grand final, halftime, getting the assistant coaches together and how much input they give it. It's significant and he trusts them and they were down by a couple of goals in the grand final, but it was what they put in place, those plans that they put in place, and the trust that he had in them. I mean, he can't make all those decisions or suggestions off his own back.
You see the line coaches every week. You see them talking to the forwards, to the defenders. They break them up into groups. You see that happen, and, of course, it's his system he's put in place, and he has the overseeing word. But I think they're very important, but I don't think it's the be-all and end-all.
Thank you very much. Zach Cleavy just says, Hi, guys, enjoy the pod. Can you guys please briefly explain how AFL player contracts are typically structured? What are the common and sometimes uncommon clauses?
I don't think there's typical structure to it. You have contracts that are front-ended, so you're paid more in your first year or two. You have contracts that are back-ended, so you're paid more in your latter years. You have contracts that are changed midstream to add
bonuses or
there's playing finals bonuses, there's winning premiership bonuses, there's winning kicking bonuses.
No real limitation.
No, and there are issues around TPP or salary caps with all of those. I guess the tragedy is the more successful you are, the harder it becomes to fit within your salary cap because you've got to pay, bonuses and your players are going to command more income. So it gets harder and harder. That's why you see teams like Hawthorn, teams like Richmond, when they're up and about shedding players that they don't necessarily want to shed. I'm sure Richmond would have loved to have kept Brandon Ellis, but they couldn't.
But
he
also
was offered a lot of money.
Also, clubs like Geelong have suggested they've been to try and keep their team together. They've had their top players either not have a salary increase or they've taken a cut in some cases to make sure they can fit in a gun player or someone.
West Coast did that.
Yes.
Hawthorn did that. Geelong have done that this year. West Coast agreed to take a cut and the word is on the proviso they don't go chasing any big names.
Yep.
So, as far as...
It fits in with the Yeo stuff as well.
It does, yes.
Adam from Carlisle. We've already had apologies. Let me up here. Sorry. Hey, lads. This is from Adam from Carlisle. Where do the commentators and statsmen get their stats from? I've always wondered. And it's interesting. We spoke to this a couple of weeks ago with the in-broadcast man, which was Sir Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. But is it Champion Data? Data.
Yeah. And I think they're owned by the AFL now.
Yes, yes. So there's Champion Data. Look, a lot of stats come from AFL tables as well in terms of during the week. Now, they're not associated with the AFL, to my knowledge, but they're a non-profit scenario. So therefore, the AFL, if they're making money, I think the AFL would quickly put them under their wing. But that's a fantastic way to source stats either this year or previous years. But Champion Data on a weekly basis, they're the ones that update us, and you have to subscribe or certainly have to pay a fee as broadcasters and commentators to get that information rolling through the course of a game.
It's a big part of the game now. We, you know, 20, 30 years ago, stats were a feature of the game, but not as big a part as they are now. I think Champion Data was originally started by Ted Hopkins. Is that right?
Rings a bell.
Teddy Hopkins is the player.
The famous 1970.
Yeah, he came on in the 1970 grand final with, I think, Collingwood 42 points up. He came on for
44 points, five. I think it was. And of course, the call at halftime was, Barassi, hand pass.
So, and what are Geelong doing at the moment?
A fair bit of it.
That's, there you go. So he was a man ahead of his time, Ronald Dale. By the way, did you see Ronald Dale at the end of the Melbourne game against Sydney at the weekend, sitting up in the stands singing the It's a Grand Old Flag?
He could have sung
actually
both songs.
Actually brought tears to my eyes that did. Yeah. Anyone, I've had a little bit to do with Ronald Dale over the years. He's a wonderful human being. He's a great player, great coach, and I just love seeing that, and I hope they have some success for him. Not that he hasn't had success in his lifetime. He's had plenty of it, but I wouldn't mind seeing him get a little bit more in the latter years.
We got two more questions, and we'll have to leave the rest till Thursday. One, first to Hokkaido, Japan, then our man in Harvard's done a bit of study for us. Hokkaido, Japan, living overseas, I'm able to watch with the www.watchafl.com.au. Just letting you know, it's great for Eagles members at a reasonable price. Now, my question is, West Coast Eagles get about 5 to 10 minutes coverage a week over the hours of content on Fox Footy. Pardon me.
Bless you.
Could the media experts on the pod please explain why, if all it's all about getting eyeballs from the media product from advertising revenue, and the wealthiest club with the most memberships doesn't get more coverage on a national platform? As I'm writing, as Willy Rioli is breaking news, and he had a question to that as too. So firstly on that, what can you explain media coverage on a national platform? Is it just that it's Perth?
Perth doesn't help, and it's a Melbourne-centric Fox footy, and a lot of those programs, you know, you've got so many clubs in Melbourne. That's the reality of it. And it's a bit of out of mind, out of sight to some degree. The Willy Rioli story will create a lot of talk today on radio and on Fox and Seven and all the outlets. So, but yeah, look, I understand the frustration. I can understand people in the West or even Adelaide thinking, and I don't like this old saying of, you know, if Josh Garlop, if he played in Victoria, he'd be a superstar. You know, everyone would know he's, well, it's a national competition. Surely we all acknowledge or should acknowledge a player that is good. Doesn't matter whether he plays in Queensland, WA or South Australia.
It's not a bad point though, Skeet. Do you think David Mundy, for example, gets the recognition he deserves over East?
No. He's
as good
doesn't.
As anyone who's played the last 20 years, really, isn't he? He's a terrific player.
He's got it this year, but it's got to that point where it's like
too little, too late.
Fashionable to do it, and it's now on, people pick up everyone else's headlines, and then it becomes a flow-on effect.
Well, the Freo cheer squad did say on his 250th game on the banner, congratulations, 250 solid games. So yeah, they probably started the ball rolling.
And a solid citizen. No, I do understand exactly where a respondent is coming from. The frustration levels are there. That being said, I think when it comes to the game in the West, and we do shows on Seven, it has a heavy slant on WA teams.
You know what I'd suggest? Just become a subscriber to this podcast.
That's right. Very, very good pump up there. You're getting this. You're doing the biggie juice seamlessly now. And that. Okay, you had one more question as to the Willy Rioli stuff. Also, is Adam Simpson better just to run with the I don't condone drug use, but ... tactic, much like Richmond when they're explaining their off-field player issues?
Yeah, well, if he means the Richmond off-field player issues, this I see what – so Damien Hardwick said, I don't condone violence, and none of us do. But I think that gets to a point – I didn't mind Damien Hardwick's response, by the way. I thought – and Richmond's response. I thought sometimes when your partner is pushed and verbally abused, you've just got to stand up for yourself. I don't mind that.
What's the question, Adam Simpson, I think, related?
Saying if with Willy Rioli and Adam Simpson in this case, is he just best served to just stand up and say what Damien Hardwick said, I don't condone drug use, in this case drug use, but ... as a tactic to seem It seemed to work great for the media with Richmond and explaining away.
It's a different situation. Yeah, yeah. It's a very different. I don't think you can compare what's happened to Willie to
that's great.
Compare.
And Craig Vozzo today was, you know, he was sympathetic, but he was also strong. And I think that was, he did a really good press conference. Mm. I thought he conducted himself.
Pretty impressive.
You
Craig
don't
Vozzo.
Want someone to say, oh, irrespective, we'll wrap our arms around him, because he's hurt a lot of people allegedly with this action or through this action. So I think the Eagles have come out with exactly the right sentiment. Angry, disappointed, hurt, lack of trust is on the table now, and his future at the club certainly is in jeopardy. I don't think he can say much more than that at the moment, given what's still to come with the courts, but also the club to sit down after that and work out where this all ends up.
Very last one, guys, and we'll get to the rest on Thursday. Sorry, guys, this is a wordy one. It's our man over in Harvard, Owen Woolcock. Okay. The panel might be interested to learn that the NFL has now settled with over 3,000 retired players with financial damages related to head injuries. For those unaware, the NFL set aside $1 billion in a fund, which began with the most serious and straightforward cases, ALS, CTE, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and have since moved into a more contested dementia cases, which take more work to link to football hits and have contributed factors like family history. Contributing factors like average awards to now per athlete in US dollars. ALS, $2.4 million. CTE, $1.2 million. Parkinson's, $610,000. Alzheimer's, $435,000. My back of the envelope logic is below. But if the same average claim package in the NFL scheme was used to as a precedent, an AFL fund for retiring players would need to have a budget of $486 million of claims. That figure is equivalent to the entire decade of the AFL's pre-COVID net profits, and to stress, would only settle the liability claims for retired VFL AFL players, not current AFL players or state leagues and amateur levels. My question is, okay, sorry guys, I'm here now. If you were a consultant to the AFL and the WFC commissions, what would your advice be?
Well, I think they already have the advice, and that's why there's clearly class actions building here for in the AFL. It will come to pass. Eventually, we do tend to follow US trends, but I think on the case of CTE and other head-related trauma issues, they're going to have to, at some point, there will be some payment made. My advice is to follow the trends as they seem to be doing. Certainly now we have protocols in place for concussion that are getting better with the 12 days. We have mouth guards that can assess impact. There's all sorts of things they're doing now. We'll continue to go down. They're protecting the head. It's sacrosanct. Well, some weeks they are, some weeks they aren't. Ask Brayley Fritch last week. But if they've got to get that more consistent. But I think they're going in the right direction. They have to get better at it. There will be class actions. There will be some payout. No question at all. So my advice is just continue down the current trend, which I'm reasonably happy with where they're going at the moment.
Playing a bit of catch up, aren't Australian rules football with this issue, but
it's only a relatively new issue. CTE, for example, Polly was the first case.
No, but I'm talking about in American football. This has been
massive
for a fair while.
Well, Bennett Namalu and the whole CTE. That we're talking 20
that's what I'm saying.
Years,
so we're playing catch up in getting to the forefront, but by the same token. You know, it's like anything. I mean, do you realise that in 1971, seatbelts were compulsory for the first time? I mean, you think to yourself, how was that ever on the table? You just rock up and just in your valley and just head off to the movies.
Do you realise in 1976, they put down a 2-esky limit at the MCG? One person was only allowed to bring in 2 eskies.
Are you serious?
That is a fact. That is
so people were bringing all their own piss to the MCG.
Again, it's a G-rated program here, Josh.
But, alcohol, just
alcohol. But yes, I used to take a polystyrene esky, 1 esky full of Foster's and beer, and Foster's and ice. And the beauty of that is, after the game, didn't have to take it home; you could just jump on it.
I think that's where we finish our Quarters Duff podcast on this Tuesday afternoon.
Thanks. Brought to you by Tab Touch. Get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch, and please always gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help on 1800 858 858. We will talk to you on Thursday when we'll give you our tips for the next round, and I'll be trying to go one better, 9.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you send a message to Josh's mailbag? Have you figured out how to fix footy? Are you trying to settle a debate with a mate? Or maybe you just want two of Australia's most experienced footy journalists to turn their attention to an AFL issue of the week. Send to the mailbag at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. And also remember to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates so we can make this as big and as good as possible. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.